Fire series. Let me just kind of bring you up to speed real quick here. We've been talking about the chatter that science has said that we have about 60 to 70,000 thoughts or chatter in the back of our head and in the back of our hearts each and every day. And most of the chatter that goes on within your heart and within your head is self-destructive dialogue. It's chatter that actually robs you of being blessed and being all that God has created you to be. It's the chatter. You know, a lot of times as a pastor, I speak about a lot of things that sometimes they don't really hit me dead on. They may be more for you as a church and for you as the body to help benefit you and encourage you and lift you up or whatever the case might be and wherever you might be at. But with this case, this series has really spoken to me. It really has spoken to me because I have a lot of chatter. If you don't believe me, hang out for a while. Got a lot of chatter. I got all kinds of chatter going on in me. And most of the chatter, though, I've learned how to deal with and to compensate for it and begin to take it and put it into a place where it needs to be, cast down what needs to be cast down and apply what needs to be applied. I would dare say, though, that I believe there is one area that we all deal with more than any other area. And today we're going to end this series, but I did not want to end this series without first hitting this area right here. This area right here, I believe everybody in here can identify with. Everybody. I mean, there isn't anybody that doesn't experience this. We all go through this. No matter how successful or how unsuccessful we are, if we're on the top or if we're on the bottom, if we feel like we're in the middle, it doesn't matter where you're at. We all deal with this one specific area. And let me tell you what it is. It is the spirit of accusation that brings condemnation. A spirit of accusation that brings about in your life condemnation. Everybody say condemnation.
Condemnation.
Condemnation. This chatter oftentimes speaks to you about how guilty you are, how wrong you are. It's a chatter that does not stop. And like I said before, most people don't need the devil. They got themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can cast the devil out. We can put the devil on the run. How many of you know we can't cast you out of you? So the only thing that we can do with you is to get you to renew your mind with the Word of God so that this self-destructive dialogue doesn't destroy your life. Specifically in the area of condemnation. Which always starts with an accusation, with an accusation. You know, I don't know how your ride was here to church, but one of the most frustrating things to me whenever I first started pastoring was getting to church. The self-destructive dialogue starts way early on Sunday morning, way early. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever, years ago when we first started the church, my worst day was always Sunday. Michelle and I, inevitably, oh yeah, it's on. It's on. If you guys don't know what that is, I'll tell you, it's on. You know what I mean? It'd start out, you know, we'd get up in the morning and she'd be like, you going to church? I said, yeah, why are you talking to me like that? Yeah, I'm going to church. Why am I talking to you what way? Well, that way. Why did you have to say it like that? I just look at, well, what are you talking about? Are you done with the bathroom? I'm done, yeah. Am I in your way? At our old house, we only had one bathroom. We still really only have one bathroom. Everybody congregates in the one. But anyway, I'm moving on. But this would go on all morning. All morning. And the self-destructive dialogue would be this. Look at you. You say you're a Christian. Y'all can't even make it out of the house. You know, we finally would wrestle the kids into the car. Which was always a fight. Finally get the kids into the car. We didn't have drug problems in our house. We had drug problems. You got drug to the car. Get to the car, and inevitably we were late. Why? I don't know. We had kids. That's what we blamed it on. Really, I don't know why we were really late. And by the time we got to church, we were pulling in the parking lot, and it's like, okay, listen, I'm just not going there no more with you. Michelle would be like, fine, we'll talk about it later. Oh, just what I wanted to hear. come into church, walk in, hi, hello. That's the way it was. And listen, we yeah, hey, everybody, how's everybody doing? And then the worship would start. And I can tell some of you, you had this going on this morning. Why? Because you wasn't plugged into worship. You know, God gave you two instruments, and he expects you to use them. I don't even know what those two instruments are. And a voice. He gave you hands and a voice for you to engage in worship. Why? Because most of the self-destructive dialogue needs to be broken off of you in the morning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you'd come in, the dialogue would, the chatter would start. Look at you. Friendly to everybody but the one you came with. Yeah, yeah. Look at you over there clapping and raising your hands. Mm-hmm. All spiritual. You want to choke your kids, beat your wife, but you're spiritual. I mean, the chatter. Yeah. Takes you about 12 songs to finally get into it like, okay, it doesn't matter. You know, not three or four like we're doing. And still the dialogue doesn't stop. It may be going now. It's like, how do you know my morning? The dialogue. I remember whenever, listen, for years, I'm talking probably first 7 years of me starting this church. About the first 7 years, we drove separate. I got up way before Michelle. Seriously, I'd get up way early, I'd get ready, I'd get out the door before their alarms went off. Because I knew, if I can make it out the door, how can I stand up here and preach when I'm up here thinking in the back of my mind and the chatter going, I'd like to choke my wife. These people don't even know it. I'd like to kill her. I'm going to tell them how to live spiritual. Yes, I will. Yes, okay, sure. Yeah, right. I mean, the condemnation I felt was like, holy cow, I can't even love my kids today. And I'm telling them about loving Jesus and God loves them. How can I do this? I mean, I really, really did. I was like, holy cow. And let me tell you, it was all about accusation. Look, you don't love your family. You don't love your wife. If you loved them, they wouldn't get on your nerves. I mean, it was chatter, and it was all, let me tell you what it was accusation to bring about condemnation. I would tell Michelle this, I'd say, babe, let's not fight, it's the weekend, I got to preach, because I don't want to feel that condemnation that was brought about by accusation. See, I don't know about you, but I live with it each and every day. It seems like the spirit of accusation and condemnation works 25 hours, 8 days a week on you. Constantly. Well, you should have did it this way. You should have did it that way. You should have been a better wife. You should have been a better husband, provided you're a male husband, wife. Yeah. You should have been a better dad. You should have been a better this. You should have been a better that. You should have did it this way. Don't you know you messed up? I know, even with me as a pastor, it's like I'll get done with a message. And a lot of times, you know, I am my worst critic. I'll be like, oh, man, that really sucked. I don't know how to say it. That was really bad. I mean, those people, I don't even know how. Why do they show up? What in the world? Why are they here? I don't even know. I mean, I'm struggling with it myself just to talk about it. I mean, what is wrong? And the dialogue, it just keeps chattering. And it's all about, listen to this, it's all about accusation to bring condemnation. Accusations to bring condemnation. It's all about it. Accusation to bring condemnation. And before you know it, you don't realize it, but the chatter has got you feeling the way you should not be feeling, in the sense of you see yourself as not good enough ever. You feel like you can never measure up. You'll never be everything that God has called you to be. And let me explain something to you real quick. Everybody pay attention. It's real simple theology of Charlie Riley. You ready? You cannot feel like a worm and embrace at the same time everything that God has for you. Doesn't work that way. If you think you're condemned and beat down, guess what? You'll never receive anything from God because your own conscience condemns you. Your conscience does. It works on you night and day, day and night. And I'm telling you, it is relentless, relentless on beating you down and condemning you. And it's amazing how you may be doing 99% of everything right. I mean, let's go back for a second to like talking about me. And I like talking about me, not because I like talking about me. I like talking about me because nobody gets offended when I blast me. All right? But let me explain. Whenever you're dealing with this and you got this condemnation going on, all right? Forget the fact that I was up early, I was praying, I was preparing, I was getting ready for church. I'm up getting my family ready for church. We're all going to church together. How many of you believe that's admirable? The devil wants to point out, and your flesh wants to point out, the fact that you did it with a bad attitude. And wants to condemn you and beat you down for it, right? Here I am sitting in church and I'm thinking about money. What am I doing? Why am I thinking about? And you begin to go there automatically. We're so pre-wired for condemning ourselves. It's amazing. When you start telling people you're not condemned, you know what happens? People get mad at me. Well, don't you know? Don't you know I am condemned? God has condemned me. I am condemned. No, you're not. You're condemning yourself. You're beating yourself up. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? Condemning. You say, well, is this new? No, honey. Let me explain. This has been around since the Apostle Paul. How many of you believe this man? All right. I don't know about you guys, but just for the sake of the record, I've never been slapped off a donkey by Jesus himself. All right. Let's go a little further. I did not write 2/3 of the New Testament. I was not imprisoned, chained, and singing praise songs. That's really outside of my character, and I'm glad God hadn't called me to do that yet. Because I'd be more like, kill them, God. Kill them. Kill them. Kill them. Kill them. Just saying, I'd revert to Old Testament, y'all. I would. But listen to this. The Apostle Paul, he was singing praises to God while he was persecuted and being whipped. He was martyred for his faith. He started literally a bunch of churches. And yet, I believe he still struggled just like you and I. He struggled just like you and I. If you don't believe me, look at this, man. Look at this, Romans 7:15. It says this, "For I do not understand what to do, what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, and everything I do turns out like do-do." Y'all knew I was going there. Everybody in here was like, "I've been here enough. I bet you he's going there. I bet you." That's why everybody was laughing. Yeah, I can tell people I ain't been here long enough. They're like, "Why is everybody laughing?" Because you know. You can't put that many do's together and me not talk about doo-doo. I mean, but listen to the Apostle Paul. He said, man, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do, I don't want to do. And everything turns out like doo-doo around here. He was condemning himself. He was talking about himself. He goes, now there's a war in me. There's something going on the inside of me. And I'm going to tell you, that was the chatter. That was the chatter. He was dealing with his humanity and yet at the same time being born again and loving God. Come on, everybody has to deal with it. One of the things that I think robs the church, is this, let me explain, is that we don't acknowledge our humanity in church. People come to our church and they say, Pastor Charlie, I love it here. Why? You're just real. And I thought, well, then what is the alternative? Fake? Come on, I got weaknesses just like you, right? I have things I struggle with just like you. We all got things. Come on, am I right? And if we don't acknowledge those things, how are we ever going to conquer those things? So if you're not perfect here, come on now. We're all right with it. Praise God. We'll get you as best as we can. We'll pick you up where you're at and take you where you need to go. Amen? The Apostle Paul, definitely. He says, man, I don't know what to do. He says, but I don't want to do. I do. I agree that the law is good. And as it is no longer I myself that do it, but it is sin that lives within me, man. And he goes on in the latter part of that chapter. He said, oh, I'm such a wretched man. I'm all, and you know, here's the truth. We all got a little bit of dysfunction going on. That's what he was saying. Now, the problem is not that we don't acknowledge we have dysfunction. The problem is this. The problem is what we think God's standard for him loving us and blessing us and honoring us is that we are perfect. As if God kicks out our humanity. Jesus did not die to make you perfect, y'all. He made you perfect in the light of Christ and in the light of your sin, but he did not die for you to become somebody else perfect. Will you eventually become perfect? Yes. Are you there yet?
No.
Everybody that is, they gone. They gone. I was thinking of it about like this. Watch this. Every person in heaven is a sinner. Or let me say it this way. That's wrong. That's inaccurate. Every person in heaven was a sinner. Was a sinner. Y'all get that? Every person in heaven was a sinner. People a lot of times think that the thing that keeps people out of heaven is their sin. Can I tell you? That's not true. The thing that keeps you out of heaven is this: not acknowledging the sin sacrifice over your life. How many of you know Jesus died for your sin? So the only way that you get sin off of you is to transfer it to Jesus and to acknowledge that transfer. Come on, am I right? So my point in saying all that is to say this, to think you're going to be perfect and that's what qualifies for you for heaven is not the case. Matter of fact, it's Jesus' sacrifice is the only way of your perfection. Oh, that's good, y'all. His sacrifice is your only way to perfection. That's it. And if you ever get there in this lifetime without dying, good luck. The Apostle Paul didn't. And if you think you have, you probably haven't. And the very fact that you think you have shows me you haven't. Come on, am I right? Yeah, you know it. See, but I believe that the spirit of condemnation says some things to you. It has a voice. It speaks. The spirit of accusation, bringing condemnation, says some things. I'm going to give you three of them. Three things that I felt were absolutely powerful, all right? So you can write these down or just get the CD, listen to it on the radio, whatever y'all want to do. But here it is. Here it is. You ready? Let's talk about it. Number one, you ready? Condemnation wants to make your event your story. Listen to me. Condemnation always wants to take your event and make it your story. Let me explain what I mean. I had a business. It failed. Therefore, I'm a failure. I can never do anything. I had a marriage, and it hit rock bottom, and I destroyed it. That's me. I'm a druggie. Can never be different. Always a druggie. How about this one? I've argued with people about this one. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, yeah, I haven't drank 25 years. I'm an alcoholic, though. Yep. You know what they say? Once a alcoholic, always. Can I tell you, that mindset right there is absolutely contrary to your Bible. How about this? If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Watch this. The old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become
new.
Y'all believe that? See, I believe that. So watch this with me. I've never done drugs. I drank three times while I was in the military. We got in fights all three times, so I figured that was a bad idea. All right? It's bad, bad. We ended up at places we shouldn't have been, seeing things we shouldn't have seen. It's bad. And I didn't even like the taste of alcohol, and still to this day don't. I drank, why? To get drunk. Let people lie to you. That's why I did it. Three times, and I'm not bragging about that, but here's what I am saying. I've never struggled with drugs, never struggled with alcohol, never struggled with porn, and I'm not up here to paint myself as perfect, but here's what I will tell you. You know what I did struggle with? Anger. Bad. I was an angry young man. That's why my kids put me in martial arts. Well, there's an idea. Let's weaponize him. You know? Now, my point in saying this is, I really struggled with my temper. And I bought into the thing that said, you know, my dad was angry. My grandpa was angry. You know? And so I had some angry moments as a young man. And so it became my story. It became everything I was about. I'm just an angry person. Just an angry person. Angry person. I was angry. And I know some of you look at me and say, well, how could you seem so nice now? You didn't know me. I believe that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Why? I've experienced it. I've experienced. Now, I'm not going to tell you I tamed my temper overnight. But I will tell you this, that Michelle gets annoyed now that I don't get upset sometimes. She thinks I should, except not at her. But that's another story. But my point is, listen, your condemnation, whatever you feel like your flesh and the enemy condemns you about, it doesn't have to be your life story. It doesn't have to be everything you're about. Well, you know, I'm an alcoholic. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. God lived this way all my life. God lived with it, lived with that. No, the devil is a liar and so is your flesh. Tell it no in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to be your story. Have you ever ran across people that you get sick of hearing their story? It's like, oh my word, here they come again. I got a song for you. From a distance, there is, I believe the words are harmony or something. I'm terrible, but y'all get my point. You know, sometimes we can love folks from a distance because their whole mindset, we have created, I'm going to go there just for a second. Y'all ready? Buckle up. You ready? We got a whole culture that lives with a victim mentality, and their victimized mentality is their story. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm a victim of this. I'm a victim of that. I didn't grow up here. Oh, shut up. Nobody cares. Amen. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I will. Condemnation wants you to make an event your story. You see it all over in our culture. And here's what I'm saying for you as a child of God. Don't let that be you, man. Don't let that be you. Let God be who God has said you are. You become who God said you are. And don't allow those limitations and that chatter to rob you of your destiny. Amen? All right, listen to this next one. I believe this one's just as important. You ready? Condemnation wants you to label yourself. Condemnation always wants you to label yourself. And I'll give you an example of this, and I'll show you how it works in our home. You know, I know your kids may be perfect, but mine are not. So in the past, we learned at a young age that sometimes they are liable to tell fibs, otherwise known as lies, all right? Lies. Now, let me explain something here. What I'm talking about is condemnation wants you to label yourself is this. When you have a kid, let's say one of my kids, they tell a lie. Do you walk up to your kid and say, you lied, therefore you're a liar? See, because that's what the spirit of condemnation says. The spirit of condemnation says, see, you got a divorce, you're an adulteress. See, you lied, so you're a liar. See, you sinned, so you're a sinner. See, you did this wrong, so you're a thief. You're a this, you're a that. The spirit of condemnation always puts a label on you. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Puts a label on you. Puts a label on you. And it wants it to stick. And you have a choice at that moment to buy into what the label is or to reject the label. I will tell you, most people swallow the label. Watch this, and here's how the thinking goes. I lied, therefore that makes me a liar. Say, Pastor Charlie, what other alternative is there? I'll show you in just a second. I lied, therefore I'm a liar. Or I lost, therefore I'm a loser. I'm a loser. Or, watch this. Or I failed, therefore I'm a failure. Are y'all seeing the process? That's what people do. The spirit of condemnation says you lied, therefore you're a liar. You failed, therefore you're a failure. The spirit of condemnation says, see, you did this and so you're that. It always attaches a title for it. And what it wants you to do is buy into it. Say, but Pastor Charlie, is there an alternative? Absolutely. Watch this. Here's how we handled this at my house. And I've told parents about this before to help them with their kids. Because I've heard parents say, you lied, you're a liar, you shouldn't be lying, what's wrong with you? Can I tell you, you are just empowering the spirit of condemnation on your children. Yeah. You know what I tell my kids? This is what we told them ever since they were little. I said, Whitney or Michael? We'll go Michael, more so than Whitney. Here's what we'd say. I don't even know boys are a little different. I would say it this way. I'd say, Michael, you're lying. And you're not a liar. We don't have liars in our house. You're not going to lie. And we don't accept lying. So you're not going to lie. Because we're not liars. Are y'all hearing the difference? It's not you're a liar. It's you lied and we're not liars. And I'm trying to teach you how God sees you. I'm trying to see you that God says, you lied, but you're not a liar. You're a child of God. You may have lost, but you're not a loser because you serve God. You may have failed, but you're not a failure because of who your God is. Come on, y'all see the difference. You can't claim the labels, man. If you claim the labels and they stick, guess what? It is so hard. I can't even tell you how hard it is to root out a thinking once someone buys into a label. For example, with that alcoholic thing. I'm an alcoholic, always be an alcoholic. You know how many arguments I've had over that? I'll point it out. You are a new creature in Christ. Even though you stopped drinking while you were unsaved, then gave your heart to Christ. You're not an alcoholic. You're not. You're a child of God. Claim your identity there. No, I'm not. I'm an alcoholic. You know what they say at AA. Let me tell you what El Shaddai, El Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, your daddy God says about you. He says you are not. You are a new creation in Christ. Well, I just can't accept that. But you bought into the idea that you're an alcoholic all your life. Y'all see what I'm saying? See, here's the reality. You ready? You will accept by faith a label whether you take it or not. Listen to what I'm saying. You are going to buy into a label over your life whether you believe it or not. You say, what do you mean? You right now have a label in your heart. The chatter has convinced you, I'm not worthy. 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 The chatter. I'm not worthy. And you bought into it. And because of that, you have a hard time believing God would bless your life. Right? That's how it works. The enemy wants you, and your flesh wants you to buy into a label so that you don't see all that God has for you. Come on, y'all getting what I'm saying? And you can't do that. Say, why? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says this, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation for those that are what? In Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Are you in Christ? And then is there condemnation? No, there isn't. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Oh, but Pastor Charlie, watch how slick the devil is. You ready? Watch. But it says for those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, if I'm in the flesh, then there's condemnation. If I'm in the Spirit, there isn't. No, that's not what that says. Let me explain what that verse is really. How many of you see that in that? Raise your hand, seriously, because I don't want to spend time on something I don't need to prove. Raise your hand. All right, let me show you. You ready? Here we go. Let me show you. Number one, if you're reading in a Bible, I want you to look where it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Where that comma is actually where the original text stops. If you look in your Bible, there's a little asterisk there, and it should say like A or something, and if you go to the footnotes, it'll say not found in earlier text. And it's talking about this, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That was added in later text. Doesn't be there. It doesn't be there. Doesn't be there. It's not there. It's actually, if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Okay, but now let's just, for the sake of argument, say that is in there. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I got one question for you. Everybody look at me. If you're a child of God, look at me and check this out. Are you in the flesh or are you in the Spirit? Now watch. Here's what most people do. Well, it depends on what day, Pastor Charlie. See, some days I wake up and I'm like, Bridezilla, I'm in the flesh, ready to choke everybody. Then there are other days where I'm happy. I took a pill. And it's happy-go-lucky today. So therefore, I'm in the Spirit. That's how people think of it. They think this walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. I've even heard people say that. It cracks me up. They get around me and they start talking this and I'm like, you don't know the Bible. Because they're like, well, you know, he was in the Spirit over there. Well, you know that chick over there, she was dancing in the flesh. Oh, you know that? How many? That's not biblically accurate. Prove it. I will. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Look at verse Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 9. You can go back and read this whole chapter, but just for the sake of argument, look at this verse. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. That's that chatter. But to be spiritually minded is, come on now, life and peace. Oh, I don't want to be a Christian. Why? You guys just don't have no fun. I promise you this. I live better and have more fun than anybody unsaved. Why? There ain't no condemnation in it. Right? Look at this now. It goes on. But the carnal mind is enmity against God. All right? For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Stop right there, everybody. Look at me. Are you in the flesh or are you in the Spirit? Come on, if you are saved, if you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. If he lives in you, you are not in the flesh. The Bible is plainly saying you are in the Spirit. Now, you may act fleshly, but you are not in the flesh. That's what it says. Anybody get a witness on that? All right? You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. Watch this. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In other words, you're walking in the flesh. Here's my point. You ready? There is condemnation for those that don't have a relationship with Christ. What I'm trying to get you to see is most of you have a relationship with Christ, and yet you still are condemned. I don't want you to be condemned. I want you to see you are not condemned. I'm here to tell you, you may even be guilty. But how many of you know there is a difference between being guilty and being condemned? I'll prove it to you. Let's go to John chapter 8, if you got your Bible. Go there. John chapter 8. It's a story about a woman. The woman was caught in the act of adultery. If you don't know the story, go back and read it sometime. But here it is in a simple form. I'm going to speed up and read some of this, but watch with me. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came with him, and he sat down with them. Then the scribes brought to him a woman caught in the very in adultery. And when she had was set in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now I got one question for you. Where was the dude? Well, I'm just saying. Probably one of the guys getting ready to stone her. Like, shut up, woman, shut up. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such a woman should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, watch this, verse 6. Then Jesus said to them, testing him, he says that you might have something This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground with his fingers as though he did not hear. So when he continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, he who is without sin, let them cast the first stone against her. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus left them alone, and the woman was standing there in the midst. Now watch this, verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up, and he saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, watch this, listen, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, what? Neither do I condemn you. Time out. Everybody look at me. Was she guilty? Absolutely. She's not even arguing that. Jesus is not even arguing that. No one's debating the guilt. What we are debating here is, but does Jesus condemn her? No. There is a difference between guilt and condemnation. If you are guilty, you confess it, say, God, help me. Forgive me for it. Lord, help me walk above this. Help me get over this. Help me get better than this. Help me be stronger than this. Help me be what you've called me to be. That is very different than you going, I'm a dirtbag. I'm a worm. Look at me. Because at the point that you begin to think like that, you begin to label yourself. Look, I'm an adulteress. Look, I jacked my world up. Now everybody's going to stone me. I'm going to walk around. Everybody's going to know I'm jacked up. 5 years later, I'm still jacked up. 10 years, why? You bought the label. It's amazing how something can happen to someone when they're in their early 20s, late 20s, mid 30s, and they will carry that thing the rest of their life, and they will claim that label over their life. And what I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that God don't want you labeled like that. He wants you to break free from condemnation. Quit beating yourself up. I mean, even me, I got saved when I was 21. You know what the chatter tells me? Why didn't you get saved and start preaching at 13? How ridiculous is that? Anybody else think that's stupid? You can't preach about it. I've seen people say, well, that man of God, he's 13 years old. That brother ain't lived long enough to preach anything. Tell me about your life at 13. You ain't even got a job. Come on, am I right? Yeah, give me some life experience with that thing and see how your faith works out. When God doesn't answer your prayer, how do you still keep the faith? When things don't work out the way you want to, do you allow the chatterbox to destroy your life, or do you get back up and say, man, bless God, God's going to work this thing out? Come on, am I right? Listen, there is a difference between guilt and condemnation. Don't let the enemy condemn you. So now I'm going to give you three things real quick here that I want you to do. And I believe if you'll do these things, man, you are going to defeat the chatterbox over your life, and I'm going to wind it up pretty quick. All right? Number one, look at this. Write it down if you're taking notes. Write down, believe. Believe. Believe, believe, believe. Believe not the chatterbox. Believe what God says. You hear what I'm saying? What does God say about you? Does God say you are more than a conqueror? Yeah. Will you claim that? Does the Bible say that you are blessed coming in and blessed going out? Yeah, I'll take some of that. Does the Bible say everything your hands touch shall prosper you? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Does the Bible say that you are forgiven of all your sins? Yes. Yeah. Does the Bible say that you are more than conquerors? Does the Bible say that you are blessed in the city and blessed in the field? Does the Bible say that God is not condemning you? Yeah. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that stuff. When the chatter is, nobody loves you, I say, oh, the devil is a liar. God loves me. If nobody else likes me, God loves me. He made me this way. Right? Hey, listen, you gotta believe it. You gotta grab a hold of it, man. If you don't grab a hold of it, watch, you're gonna grab a hold of something else. Look at you. You failed at a business. You're a failure. I grab a hold of that. Why would you grab a hold of that? If you failed at something, okay, failure is part of success. You know how many bad messages I've preached? Oh. I remember preaching one time at a fair. Oh, Lord. I was so embarrassed for them and me. It was terrible. I got so mad. Remember that anger deal? I was preaching. I got so mad I slammed my Bible. I said, if you don't want to hear it, I don't care. I'm going on. I preached for another 25 minutes. How many of you know that is not the way you make friends and influence people? I walked off that stage. I thought, holy cow. Only one person came up and said, great job. And it was another pastor who felt sorry for me. And at that point, I'm being serious. You can ask Michelle. I said, I will never preach again. I'll never preach again. Never. Because I grabbed a hold of the title of, I'm terrible at this. But you know, it only took a few weeks. But it took a whole lot of me killing the chatter for me to believe again. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying, man? You got to get back up, man. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through. I'm telling you, you got to believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Amen? Amen. We sang that earlier, man. Well, some of you did. He makes all things work together for our good. We declare that over our lives. Our worship is not about us hearing a song. It's about us declaring something over our life. I believe all things work together. I believe the first song we sing, all things are possible. Believe it or not, we think about the songs that we sing here. And we sing them on purpose. You know, I believe in you. I believe anything is possible. Everything is possible. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Everybody say, I believe. I believe, all right? Now here's the next one. You ready? Number two, write this one down. I will trust, trust, trust. Hey, everybody, check this out. There are some things that I just believe to the core of my being. I believe by His stripes we are healed. I believe we can walk in divine health. I believe that. I believe you don't have to die sick and ate up with cancer. What if it happens? What if it don't? Well, the chatter tells me, well, the chatter's a liar, right? Oh, you don't think I deal with the chatter? If I stubbed my toe, I could have swore it should have been cut off. I'm a dude, man. Michelle says I'm a sissy, but anyway, don't tell nobody, all right? But there are certain things I believe, and I grab a hold with all my heart, but let me tell you, there are other things I don't know where to believe. I don't know what to believe. Pastor Charlie, we're going to three services. For Easter, just to let everybody know, we're going to do Easter, we're going to do Saturday night at 6:30, then we're going to do three Sunday morning services, 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock for Easter Sunday this year. Hoping to have over 1,100 people here. Believe him for that. All right, now, everybody, Pastor Charlie, as the church grows, what are you going to do? Five services, six services? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how many messages are in me in a weekend. But here's what I'm going to say. You ready? Listen to me. There are some things I believe, but there are some things I just have to trust. I just got to trust God. And it's amazing how once I make a decision to, I don't know how many services we'll have, but this one thing I do know. When I don't know what to believe, I'll just trust Him. I love Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your, but in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. Do you all hear that? That's powerful, man. Trust in the who? Lord. Is God going to save my marriage? I don't know. But I know what you can do if you can't believe. You can trust Him. Okay. Say, well, I thought God would save my marriage. Not if the other party isn't willing. I thought the Lord was going to save my kids. I believe He will. Just claim it. Claim it. But I'd know what to do in the meantime. Trust Him. Trust Him. Last thing, you ready? Write this one down. Some things you just simply need to do this, to obey. Anybody remember Bill Cosby talking about obey? Obey. Isn't that a weird word? Obey. Come on, anybody remember that? I love cake. All right. Anyway, I got to get back. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Check this out. There are some things you just need to obey in. To obey. Say, I want God to bless my finances. All right. Just be obedient. Just obey. You know what I mean? Just be obedient. I want God to do this. Well, is there a promise in the Word of God that tells you what to do to get that? I want more friends. Okay, you ready? Here's a promise. He who desires a friend must show himself friendly. You just need to obey. I want more friends. Well, don't be the last one in and first one out and then complain all the way home. Nobody wants to be my friend. You got to be somebody's friend, praise God. You got to take a step and say, hi, will you be my friend? That's pretty lame, but anyway, you get the idea. You got to do it, you know? Come on, you can't sit there and blame God and blame this and blame that and blame that. No. Just obey. Just be obedient to the Scripture. Be obedient to common sense sometimes. You know? My head keeps hurting. Why? I keep running my head into this wall. Well, stop running your head into the wall. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Just obey. And let me just say this. I believe all these three combined will get you a long way with the chatter. Believe? I'm going to believe. The chatter says, you're no good. I'm going to believe what he says. I got to live like this all my life. No, I'm going to believe what he said. I'm a new creature in Christ. Yeah, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And then when I don't know what to believe or there's questions about what I'm supposed to believe, am I supposed to go here for a job or am I supposed to go here? How am I supposed to work that out? You know, there isn't a clear-cut promise for either one. Here's what I will do. I'm going to trust God and he's going to work it out and he's going to direct my path. And he's going to make it obvious for me. Yeah. Come on, y'all ready? I tell God this sometimes. I really do. I say, God, I'm a little slow and I don't get hints, so you need to lay it out perfect. I do, man. I do. I was like, Lord, I'm still not picking up the vibe, man. You need to tell me what to do because I'm liable to jack it up. But I'm going to trust him. And then the last one is what? Just obey him. Just obey him. It's amazing how you can kill a lot of the chatter with those three things. Just simply trusting, obeying, and believing. Come on, amen? Amen. I hope you've been blessed this morning. Give the Lord a big clap offering.